Welcome to another edition of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. And my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Rob. How are you?
Good, good. You know, we're just coming off of Easter weekend. Usually Easter and
Easter.
Passover, thank you. They're like kind of like simultaneously. They're usually like close next to each other. This year it wasn't like that. But Purim was, it started out, and then from Purim we went into Easter, and you and I did a show about that a few weeks ago. So this year, when is Passover this year? When is Passover?
Well, actually, I think it's oddly it's late this year, a few weeks past Easter. Let me take a look here. I think that it's not until the 22nd of April, which
and usually
you know,
Easter,
right,
falls around that time of the year.
I'm not sure why the difference, you know, but because they say that the Last Supper was a Passover Seder. Sadly, but you know, that's part of, you know, the link between Judaism and Christianity, of course. And
Jesus, and I wonder if it's because of the leap year. We had a leap year, if that offset the calendar, because like I said, they're usually like kind of like meet at some point, Passover and Easter, but nevertheless, there is a big hoorah, a brouhaha over Easter and Biden coming out and declaring it, what was it? Disability Day. Now, in all fairness, the 31st of March has always been, and I didn't even know it, the National Visibility Day for trans people. It just so happened that this year, Easter was on the same day. And Biden almost, it seems, Heather, he made it a point to come out and make this pronouncement that this is the day and we recognize you for all that you've done. And some even said you're created in the likeness of God. And if we know if that's to be true, then why are you trying to alter your body? But hey, that's a conversation for another day. But, and I think that a lot of people were upset that he came out and made that pronouncement as if though it was a jab at Christianity. And in my opinion, this party, this new progressive party, Democrats, there's no love lost for Christianity. Whenever they can take a jab at it, they will. And I think that most Christians, especially Catholics, felt let down by Biden, who happens to be the second Catholic, I hate to say this, president, I always call him the resident, that we've had. And so to make this pronouncement, even Caitlyn Jenner, who happens to be a trans person, or claims to be a trans person, came out against Biden making this proclamation. And he even said that if anything, Biden could have just like, it's the day, don't say anything, move on. But that wasn't the point. He came out, made the pronouncement. And on top of that, he even said that during the National Easter Egg Roll, that none of the eggs could have a religious symbol. And Easter is a very sacred holiday for Christians, if not the most sacred day. Of course, you know, we celebrate Christmas and they say that was when Jesus was born. But the Easter, the resurrection, that was the most holiest of the holies. And for him to come out and make that pronouncement and then to say no religious symbols, when we know that last year Biden invited trans and gays to the White House for the Easter egg roll, and we saw what happened, it was a debacle with this one man exposing his make-believe breast, and it was just a complete letdown as of a sacred holiday.
I hadn't heard about that. I think it's nice, inclusive, but I mean, and say, you know, Jesus and God love everybody, and I mean, I think it could have been handled, you know, in a way that would have been respectful of all people and also of Christianity. But to make it, you know, upstage the Christian significance of it is inappropriate. I agree. You know, if you really want to keep religion and government separate, you know, I mean, maybe don't even have the Easter egg roll, but to, you know, to have it and then water down, you know, any religious significance, you know, it does seem very like a tortured logic, and it doesn't seem respectful.
And I think that's the reason why people were really upset. And this is not the first time this administration has done something of this nature. Like I said, last year we had the transgender on the White House exposing themselves. And had this been any other religion, let's say, had this been a Hindu, had this been definitely, had this been something involving Islam, the White House would have danced around it. They would have been so careful not to offend. But when it comes to Christianity or Judaism, the Jews, they don't care. It's, we don't care. We're going to do whatever we want to do, and you, everyone else be damned. And I just don't, this White House, in my opinion, is the most demonic, evil White House that I have ever seen. I mean, they spoke about, and I know those are some pretty harsh terms. They spoke about the Clinton White House that was full of debauchery. But this White House with the cocaine that was found in the White House and Hunter Biden, and it's, there's just so much about this White House that has, that does not promote the, corruption, does not to promote the family values of America. And maybe that's what they want. Maybe they don't care about family values, because we know that they're trying to, thus one institution that's under attack, they want to redefine the family. And that brings me to my topic tonight about Democrats. I would like to believe that there are some real Democrats that are there, that they're looking at this White House, at this administration, and they themselves are wondering, what the hell has happened? This is not the Democrat Party that baby boomers grew up with, baby boomers respected. It's not the Democrat Party of JFK. It's not the Democrat Party even of Roosevelt. And Roosevelt's White House was definitely on steroids with all the social programs. But now, you look at what this White House is doing, giving money to illegals while Americans are suffering, giving illegals credit cards. I mean, they're constantly telling Black people, we're going to give you reparations, but we've got to study it. But when the illegals come here without, they don't even think about it, and they just dole out millions of dollars. And you look at their position on crime. And I'm like, I would like to think that even my mom, I visited her this weekend because I traveled to Easter. I was able to spend some time with the family, Heather, in Arkansas. And Arkansas is a red state. And, you know, and I look at what they're doing, and I hear her lamenting about the illegals. She laments about the gas price, food price, and so many things. The criminal crime is on the rise. And I listen to her, and I'm like, you know, with all of this being said, and she sees this, come November, is she going to switch her vote and vote for something that's more conservative? Or is she going to continue the tradition and vote for Democrat, vote for Biden, who is completely against everything that she stands for? He's against her principles, morally, religiously, completely against it. So I think, I'm like, is she going to just say, okay, I can't do it? Or will she continue and vote for Biden because that's what she's always done? And I wonder that about so many other Democrats. A lot of my family, they're Democrats, and they see what's happening, and they're against it, especially when it comes to religion, especially when it comes to the family, especially when it comes to these trans. I don't believe there's any such thing as trans. I think these are people, they're mentally ill people, because you can't change your body
and say that
and identify with something else.
Very rare thing, Rob, some very rare phenomenon. You know, and there is such a thing as a child being born hermaphrodite, you know, with both sets.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about trans.
Well,
the trans
I think that there's a continuum, and maybe I'm not an expert by any means, but maybe some of these folks, you know, there may be some biological issues. And I think that's a small minority, personally. I think it's become a social contagion. I would agree with you about that. But I think something that's a medical issue, that has taken on a life that it just, it's hard to understand how there would be hundreds of times more people, especially children, saying that this is what they are now than 30 years ago. I mean, if this is something that's that common, Well, you know, in contrast, I think, you know, there have always been gay individuals. I think that is part of nature. I think there are even animals who are gay. I'm not a biologist, but I know that, you know, gay behavior, you know, it has existed in almost every society, anthropologically. I think that's something different. I do think that people are very suggestible. I think the human mind is very malleable, and people who struggle, especially adolescents, which is a tough, tough time of life, can be excruciating for some kids. And, you know, in our day, right, when I was a kid, girls were anorexic. I even had a bout with that as a kid. You know, girls were cutting themselves. You know, boys were, you know, joining gangs. Well, they still are, and doing drugs and driving like maniacs. And I mean, this is a stressful transition. And I think that when you introduce at a stressful, high anxiety time in world history, another option that, you know, forgive me, is, you know, maybe kind of, and this isn't to minimize or trivialize the suffering of adolescents, because my heart goes out to them, but I think it's maybe an escape, you know, potentially for some kids, or they think it is. I don't know. You know, it's just, there's a lot of pain in adolescence. And I tend to think that, you know, there's the whole, who am I? Am I attractive? Am I going to be, you know, admired, asked out, desired? Am I going to be rejected? You know, all the difficulty and pain of that for some kids is severe. And I personally, my personal hunch is that there may be an element of this, along with all kinds of other anxieties and, you know, mental health issues, that, you know, is hurting kids and not being addressed. And this is kind of maybe a way of trying to find help. You know, but I tend to agree, it doesn't seem to me to be, a responsible way to help kids, you know, for adults to be sanctioning dramatic surgical procedures on healthy bodies of young people. You know, I've become very anti-elective procedure in general. I think the body, you should never abuse the body. Never, never abuse someone else's, never abuse your own, never. And I just think that there's something very harsh, very,
well, I'll go back to what you, I'll
and
go back.
Not medically necessary about these.
Right. Well, I'll go with what you said. First of all, I don't
and,
think.
You know, if an adult wants to do it, and it's all their lives, yeah, I mean, maybe that's a different story. But I think these young kids, it's
well,
very.
Allow me to say this. I'll say this. I don't think that they're gay animals. I think that, like you said, things are highly suggestive. I think that people will put it out there, and then they will try to support it with their hypotheses, and then we go along with it. I don't think that exists. Simply because two animals are cozying up to each other does not mean that they're gay. Secondly, I think that it is a social contagion.
But that's what they're
telling us. We have to look
at
the
facts. But
you don't
see animals trans.
Right. We were created to
Well, I'm just, I'm not seeing animals moving with each other. I know, and I think most animals and people have strong heterosexual drives, but I do think there's some degree of homosexual behavior in the natural world. If you can observe this, you know, if you watch an animal show, that doesn't mean that the stronger drive by far in most creatures
and
is
it doesn't mean that it's homosexual. It just means it's just nature.
Yeah,
I think it just means that
it's
nature.
What do you call it? It's a, whatever, the normative is the heterosexual, but there are sexual behaviors that aren't strictly heterosexual among certain animals. I've seen this, you know, on whatever, the Discovery. I'm just trying to say that
I hear what you're saying. I don't buy it, but I will say
that is as concocted and unnatural. I don't, you know, I could even tell you, I don't know if we tell jokes on After Dark with Robin Andrew, but a brilliant friend of mine named Julia Gorin wrote a joke about this many years ago. Hey, can I share it?
Well, you're going to share it. Go for it. It's After Dark, Heather.
Yeah. Well, it kind of illustrates the point. You know, she's a fellow conservative, and she was a stand-up comedian for years in New York City clubs. And, you know, she did this little bit where she would say, you know, gay marriage, what's going on with gay marriage? You know, I mean, listen, I have nothing against gay people. I love them. We love all people, you know, but why don't, you know, there's always been gay people, but what is this with gay marriage? I mean, can you picture ancient Greece? You know, the young man comes home and says, you know, mother, I want to marry Aurelius. And the mother says, Bacchus, are you insane? Marry Aurelius? Do you want to give me a heart attack? You want to give your father a heart attack? You want to give your father's boyfriend a heart attack? In other words, you know, there was behavior, but it wasn't upheld as a, you know, as with an institution like marriage, and which isn't to comment. I mean, I'm not against gay marriage, but that is a shift. You know, that is unique to our time. But gay behavior is not. Is all I'm saying. It's right, always existed. You know, maybe on the margins. You know, in some.
It's society, always existed. But I think we can all agree with that. But I think now there is even more so of a push, and that is a reason why I put the question out there. When it's time to vote, are the Democrats who are traditionalists? I think that when you think about Democrats, socially, they're liberal. But when it comes to economics, when it comes to finance, I think that a lot of them are conservative. I look at my mom. She's very conservative when it comes to the economics. She's very conservative when it comes to spending. But now she's looking at when she could go to the store and buy a lot. She can't do that now. She's looking at what's entering into the church. She's looking at what's attacking her faith. And what's attacking her faith is the party that she has always supported. The party that said, we will help you. We will do this for you. She doesn't see that now. Now, she's a very independent person, doesn't want any handouts. But she does see that this party is more concerned about illegals than concerned about Americans. And she laments about that all the time. My mom is very sympathetic. She's a very loving woman. She's in her late 70s. But what she sees that what's happening to the party that she has always supported, she's like, well, this is not the party that I thought it was. But then it begs the question again, when it's time to vote, is she going to take that with her inside the voting booth? And will she say, okay, I've had it, because if I continue to vote for this Democrat, if I continue to vote for this party, and it's mainly the policies, and if we could break apart the ideology of that word Democrat and the policies, I think a lot of them would change over and say, we can't vote for him. Now, we don't like Trump, but his policies are more in line with our beliefs. But I think the biggest thing that stops him with Trump is this label that the left have been so successful of putting on him, that he is a racist. Now, we're up against a commercial break, but I want to continue this conversation because I think it's very important. Will Democrats dump the progressives right now of their party and say, we've had it, and vote conservative, or will they continue the tradition and vote for a Democrat? You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Outlaw platform, and my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We'll be back after this commercial break. Thank you.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use code FIXRX because it works.
And we're back after the commercial break with my special co-host, Heather Robinson. And our topic tonight is, will Democrats, true Democrats, are they fed up with the party and their ultra, ultra progressive policies that come November, they turn their back on the party and say, we've had enough. Enough is enough. We're tired of the hypocrisy. We're tired of the disrespect. We're tired of the criminal activity. We're tired of the lies. We're just sick and tired of being tired. We're tired of this whole brand new agenda. We're tired of you coming after our children, telling our children that they're one thing and that they're not. We're tired of the whole make-believe of the zers and the pronouns. And it's starting at this early age in school so that when these kids reach middle school, it's like ingrained in them, and it's almost as if this is a way of life. So the question is, when November comes, will they go into that booth and vote for someone like Donald Trump? And as I said, when we were ending the first half of the show, one of the biggest obstacles, I think, is that they see him as being a racist. I don't think the man is a racist. I don't know where it came from, but the left have been extremely successful in labeling him a racist. Now, pre-president, before Trump even decided to run, you had rappers and you had all these other people kneeling at the altar of Donald Trump, wanting Donald Trump to be part of their group. Now, you would be hard-pressed, Heather, to go on Google and to find anything remotely with Trump connecting with rappers, connecting with civil rights leaders. It would be hard to find it because Google has scrubbed all that. They don't want people to know it. And exactly. Of course, baby boomers aren't that savvy enough to do the research to say, wait a minute, seem to remember. And then the young people, they're completely oblivious. And this is all by design. And that's another reason why I think that Google is also a threat to our democracy, because they're controlling what we see. They're controlling what we consume. And they've been very good at it.
That's not good. That's not right. And, you know, my favorite story about all that we've talked about is that Trump basically integrated Palm Beach in Florida. And I, as a little tiny kid, remember, it was basically still segregated. I mean, we were a Jewish family, and I remember my mom saying to us, so that's not the Jewish part of town, you know. And granted, the Jewish part of town was nice, you know, but Jews and blacks were not so welcome in Florida for the, you know, early decades of Florida's development of retirement communities and, you know, the early developments. And so, there were some really nice areas, but the Jews built them separately because we were not welcome and black people weren't either in places like Palm Beach. And I remember my mom telling me some stories, and this old man I knew, you know, in Florida, who had been a musician, saying he remembers signs saying, you know, no Jews or dogs allowed, you know, in front of like hotels and stuff in parts of Florida. And, you know, I don't remember all the details, but Trump, when he opened Mar-a-Lago, there were a lot of these old money people who were not happy because, you know, Trump was flashy, but he was also bringing in a diversity of people. You know, anyone who had the money was welcome at his club in Palm Beach. And he was getting sued. You know, it was one of those things where, kind of not so unlike today, the establishment was throwing up all these roadblocks trying to block him. And he took them to court. And I believe it was explicitly discussed in court. I think his lawyers made the case that this was, you know, racism and anti-Semitism, that this was discrimination. And they won the case. And, you know, Vanity Fair did a huge piece on this. And I don't know if it's been scrubbed, but before we were fed, you know, this stuff that Trump's a racist, you know, this was a story people, you know, liked. It was a sensational and inspiring. I mean, look, I'm not saying he did it to be Martin Luther King. I think he wanted to make money and he's happy to have anybody's money. But I mean, if he was such a racist and he just detested, you know, certain groups of people and couldn't stand being in their company, he wouldn't have done that, obviously. So he's obviously not a virulent racist, you know, and that's one of my favorite stories about him. And I don't know if that's been scrubbed, but, you know, listeners should check it out. Vanity Fair magazine, if you can stand to read Vanity Fair. It was like back in the 90s, I think.
Well, I'll tell you, Heather, you would be hard pressed to find it because a lot of that information has been scrubbed. And I remember that also. I remember how he went in and he integrated, you know, the Palm Beach clubs. It was a club that Bill Clinton would play golf at. And he thought nothing of it. And I remember someone saying, well, why are you playing golf? He said, well, you know, I can't change their rules, but you're playing golf there. And this is a contradiction, how you have these liberals who claim to be, we're fighting for you, and they do just the opposite of what they're telling you. And they're quiet about it. Whereas you have this man who's a billionaire who's standing up. So I find it interesting how the things that he's done, the media does not want to mention it. The only thing they'll say is that he's a racist. And because they're so successful with that term, the way they throw it around, people are afraid to say anything else. Whereas you look at Joe Biden, and I've said this before, you look at Hunter Biden. If Hunter Biden were a black man, he would be in jail, not paying his taxes, having a gun. And he's not supposed to have a gun because he's a convicted felon for having drugs. But look at the get out of jail cards that he's been given. Look at Hunter Biden and his not claiming his daughter.
Yeah.
They attack black men for that, but Hunter Biden gets a pass. Hunter Biden and Joe Biden not claiming their granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And you want to tell me that they're the epitome of an American family? And then you want to attack Trump, his children, who have never had any brushes with the law? But when it comes to Hunter Biden, we're supposed to have sympathy for him while he's trying to rehabilitate. But if Hunter Biden was a black man, you look at Jesse Jackson Jr. I always point to him, who went to jail.
I'll tell you what. You're right. Nobody, I don't think anybody in the world truly gets a free ride except for Hunter Biden.
A free ride? Jesse Jackson Jr. went to jail.
I mean, I'm not big on the whole white privilege thing because I don't like making assumptions about people based on their race or how they look before you know them and you know anything about their story or their skills or their personality. I think it's prejudicial. But I will say, I don't mean to sound like a liberal, but I mean, I think you're right on that one. I think if he were a black guy, he'd be gone.
I like bringing up those types of things, but when you're dealing with Democrats, they love identity politics.
Sometimes there's a tiny bit of truth. I mean, they take it to an extreme. Right.
So you have to bring it up. We have to bring it up.
Yeah,
that's their mantra.
Every white person has it easy and, you know, nobody ever worked for any, you know, I mean that. But I mean, in Hunter Biden's case, that argument, you know, it's one of the cases where there's some truth to it. I mean, he's a rich, white, spoiled guy who has, you know, made a train wreck of his life again and again and again, and he just never seems to face any consequences whatsoever.
But they will attack Trump and his children and say, well, look at them. Well, right, look at them. They haven't done half of the things that Hunter Biden has done, but yet and still they are constantly attacked. So I put the question out there. Will Democrats, when it's time to vote, will they turn their backs on Joe Biden and the Democrat Party? You look at recently the police officer who was killed. As opposed to going to the services, what does Joe Biden do? He comes to town, a highfalutin money fundraiser with Obama and Bill Clinton. Now imagine had Trump done the same thing. The media would have attacked him. Oh, he's only concerned with money. Yeah, but look at what Joe Biden did. Joe Biden could have very easily reached out to the family. But he didn't. Look at what happened in Baltimore compared to East Palestine. East Palestine, when the train wreck with those toxic fumes, Joe Biden did not go there. He waited an entire year. But in Baltimore, predominantly black, he's right there on the scene. He and Pete Buttigieg. Well, Pete Buttigieg went there because he's supposed to be the Secretary of Transportation. But what does he have to offer? Absolutely nothing. And when are they going to build that bridge back? They're saying it might take years, whereas in Florida, with the hurricane, when the bridge went down, DeSantis had it up within no time. See, this is what black people, Democrats, and Jewish people need to look at, because this party currently does not care about them. The only thing they're concerned with is their vote. But other than that, they will turn their back on them. They will make fun of their religion. They don't respect it. but they will respect everything else because they don't care. And they know that these two groups will consistently give them their votes. And that is the reason why they do it. So I would say this November, it is time for a wake-up call. Now, imagine if Black people were to turn their backs on Joe Biden and the Democrats and say, we've had it. We're not going to vote for you. I mean, you hear it all the time on the news. You look at Chicago, the Blacks that are there, they're very upset with this Democrat Party because of the illegals that they're dumping into their communities, lowering the wages, job wages. Schools are being disrupted. Community centers for their kids are being disrupted. Blacks are tired, and they keep saying it. You look at New York City, they're saying the exact same thing. Why are you giving them our money, our taxpayer dollars? Why are you putting them up in these pricey hotels when we have homeless people? But is it enough that they will turn their backs on them come November? I would like to think so. But you look at what happened with COVID. Look at the lie that they told us. And then 2022, the election, they still voted them back in power. But I would like to think, Heather, that we've reached a point of no return, an inflection point almost, that they're going to say, enough is enough. I can't take it. You look at what you're doing to our religion. You look at what you're doing to our children, what you're doing to us Americans. You're turning your back on us in favor of illegals. And then you don't want us to call them illegals. You want us to say undocumented workers because you want to take away the shame. But then when it comes to us, it's like, we don't care about you. I look at the crime. Look at the crime. Look at who's committing the crime. And to me, that in itself is racism. That in itself is a form of prejudice because you're saying, well, we got to let Black people do this because they don't know any better. They can't obey the law. And then we've got to lower the standards. We've got to lower the standards to let them into corporate America because they're not that smart. So we got to lower the standards and we're just going to give it to them with DEI, another form of discrimination. Which, because you know, think that this is what they want. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to be personal, but I know that must be galling to you, Rob. I mean, being a successful professional. I mean, there's a lot of liberal hypocrisy. We know this, you know.
BB Diamond and I have spoken about this.
Yeah,
that they're lowering the standards. Right. She'll be back on. That they're lowering the standards.
Yes.
Yeah, that they're lowering the standards as if though Black people can't compete, as if though Black people aren't as smart. And to me, that's a slap in the face. So again, I go back to Heather, and we've said this before, if we had a true and honest media, a media that is not controlled by a political party, I'm all for free press, but we have a media that is controlled by a political party, that they will not allow different opinions to be put out there. You have Google, that's part of this. You look at what happened during the 2020 election with social media, the big platforms, like especially Twitter, how they silenced the voices of conservatives. And they kept a lot of information from the public domain so that people could not make an informed decision. And I think that's happening right now. They're telling us that, oh no, they're trans people, and you got to think this way, and our kids are trans, and we know that this is all a lot of dump that they're putting on them. They're controlling their mindset. They're not giving them real information. And when you have people at the top who have an agenda, I mean, right now, you go to school, it's like 5 out of 10 kids are saying that they're trans. They don't understand it. But see, the media is telling them that it's okay, so parents are buying this. Well, I'm going to feel it's almost like it's the fad. Oh, my kid is transgender. That kid isn't transgender. That kid has an issue that needs to be worked out. If a kid were to come to you and say, I'm an animal, I'm a ghost, or I'm a dog, are you going to say, oh, okay, you are a dog? We don't allow children to decide what they're going to eat. We don't allow children to drink or smoke, but we're going to allow them to make a decision to say that I'm going to change my body? No, it's a mental issue. It's mental, and we need to get these kids to doctors who aren't going to indoctrinate them. We have had so many people come on our show who said that at one point they thought they were trans, who've spoken out about this. And they said, no, this is not going to help you. Why can't we get these people help? We can't, because the media is feeding us this fake news and telling us, oh, no, if you don't go along with this, you don't like them, that you have some type of phobia or you're against them. And that has nothing to do with it, Heather. Nothing to do with it. And I think a lot of people are fed up and they're tired and they're sick of this. But are they fed up enough that when it's time to vote, that they will turn their backs? The person whose name I was thinking about is Walt Heyer. He came on our show, I think it was almost a year ago, May 19, 2023, exposing the transgender truth. It doesn't exist. And he was the first, one of the first transgenders who lived his life as a woman, thinking that this was going to help him, only to find out that it's not going to. And he's been trying to get it out there. Resistance. And what is the media doing? They're trying to silence him because they don't want him to speak the truth. Wow, what's his name? Walt Heyer.
I'm sorry, I missed
him. Walt Heyer. He was on our show May 19th, 2023. It's a very powerful story that he came on. And again, people have got to start waking up and they have got to resist this coming from the left that's telling us that, oh no, this is the right way, because it's not. A lot of people are being deceived. Last week we had on our show Pastor William Green, who spoke out about the same thing. And I think it's time that we conservative have got to start standing up and pushing back. Because if we don't, we're going to lose a complete generation. And I hope that these Democrats that see this, I hope that come November, that they will say, enough is enough. We've got to protect our country. Because Biden is not going to do it. I mean, him coming into town the other day with having on stage Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, it was the perception that, you know, if you vote for me, this is what you're going to get, because I know you guys love them. You're going to love me also. It's not true. Biden is half the man that he used to be. He's half the man he was when he came into office in 2020. I mean, the man is losing it. But the media is telling us, oh, he's on all cylinders. It's all lies. And I know that Democrats, true Democrats, see this, Heather. They see it, and they're tired of it. But are they sick and tired enough to change their votes? Will they go to the polls and say, I can't have this anymore? Now, we're up against another commercial break, Heather, but we're going to pick this up as well as cover some other current events. We hope you come back after this commercial break. Thank you.
Well, the year 2024 must be the year of the Patriot, and AmericaOutloud.news will equip you with all the information you need to give new meaning to the words Patriot Act. For our actions always ultimately define our words. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Gosh, Heather, it's hard to believe we're the last half of the show. We've been having a great, spirited debate, yes, conversation over Democrats and wondering, come this November, if they're going to turn their backs on these progressive Democrats that are, in essence, in my opinion, destroying the country. And what's interesting, Heather, mm-hmm, is that, I don't know if you're familiar with the guy, the actor Michael Rapaport, who was really, yes, big and a loudmouth during the whole George Floyd incident. I mean, he came out attacking every conservative, attacking Trump, saying Trump was crazy, and we've got to listen to the Democrats. I mean, he was on every network just about talking about this. Now, fast forward, he's had a change of heart. He says, oh, I've started, mm-hmm, listening, and I've started reading the issue. Now he's against Biden. Well, I was against Biden all along. I, mm-hmm, saw through this. I saw through what they, mm-hmm, were doing. And what they, mm-hmm, were doing was destroying the country. So now Michael Rapaport is coming out, calling out the left and saying, oh, no, I will not be voting for Joe Biden. Not going to vote for him. Mm-hmm. That I've had it with him. I've had it with he and his policies, and that they're not good for America. Mm-hmm. Another Democrat who was sold on this whole thing that what Biden and his administration was doing was the greatest thing since sliced bread. And it all happened, Heather, because, mm-hmm, of George Floyd. And we've spoken, mm-hmm, about George Floyd before. George Floyd, mm-hmm, what happened to George Floyd should not have happened. Derek Chauvin should have removed his knee. But I would submit to you now that Democrats have their knees on the necks of Blacks, on the necks of true Democrats, on the neck of Jews, holding them down, wanting them to believe that we're your savior. We're the next Moses, and we're going to come in, and we're going to rescue you from the enemies. And they're not. If anything, they're going to deliver you.
Yeah, they try to make us dependent as opposed to empowering us. You know, a lot of their stuff is about giving people stuff, and, you know, it's not really about giving them opportunities, you know, to prosper, to compete, to develop, to defend themselves in the case of Israel. You know, it's more like, let us manage your lives for you. We know best. And they really don't a lot of the time. I mean, you know, I'm not anti-Democrat in the sense of, I think those who really care. Listen, I personally think we need more social programs, but better ones. I think we need social programs for the mentally ill. And I think we have a mental illness, absolute over the top crisis in this country at every level of society. I don't know why, but, you know, people's anxiety levels, addiction, all the homelessness is mostly untreated mental illness. I mean, that's what we need. You know, the Democrats, hey, you know, I mean, if they care about people, how about helping people who really cannot help themselves? And I mean, you know, there's a dearth of that, but there are all kinds of other social programs that, you know, I'm not going to rip them all apart. Maybe some of them have some value, but they also, many of them are for, you know, adult people. I think they, you know, they're not temporary measures. Sometimes they take, they create a lot of dependency. And, you know, this is how they quote unquote help us. And they like to tell Israel what to do, you know, from thousands of miles away, you know, when Israel's being brutally, savagely attacked and dealing with the horrible, admittedly horrible moral complexities of fighting a defensive war. We're chiming in, you know, the Democrats are telling, you know, Netanyahu what he may and may not do. But, you know, we're not in their shoes. And if it were, God forbid, Americans being butchered and massacred by the thousands, I don't think we'd be playing very tenderly with whoever did that. So, yes, I think the Democrats have a tendency to want to micromanage and say that that's help. And a lot of times they'd be better off just, you know, keeping their policies lean and effective and efficient and focusing on what, you know, people who really need help and are helpless and, you know, stop trying to control everybody else's life.
Yeah, but this is who they are, the Democrats. Like you said, if it were, if the shoes were turned, would they want to do the same thing? I think if it was related to Christians, they would say, oh, Christians stay down, stand down, and let the other religious group do whatever they want to do. But to try to dictate to Israel, just like Israel just went and launched an attack in Iran and took out this terrorist leader, and now you have the left saying, oh, that's a bad idea, that's a bad thing, and Benjamin Netanyahu, he's just gone crazy, and we need to get rid of him. Why? He's trying to protect his people. He's trying to protect their very existence. While the Democrats want to see them, like, I guess, wiped from the face of the earth. That's the reason why they have all of these protests by uninformed young people. Again, it goes back to the indoctrination of young people who are uninformed, who don't know the history. And that's because our schools won't teach it, the same way a lot of kids are completely oblivious to 9/11. When 9/11 took place, we were saying, oh, how together we are, and people are coming together. Some 20 years later, they want to hide it. They want to forget it. And now they want to say that America is a bad guy. We're not perfect, but we're trying to protect our people. But they don't care about that. Mm-hmm. They don't care about it. They don't like America. And what other country would allow you the privileges that you have today? No other country would allow that. No other Western country would allow it. And that's the reason why a lot of them trying to come here. That is the reason why a lot of people are trying to bombard. We're not trying, but they're bombarding our southern borders to get here. Or they're doing it because Joe Biden told them to. Joe Biden said, we're going to give you money. And just think, Heather, 16 years ago, when Trump was in office, not Trump, but Biden was in office, when Obama was in office, he was even saying, we need to secure our southern border. Clinton even said it. Even yes. Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
What changed? And, I'll tell you what changed.
You know, the illegal immigrants to stop bringing their children. He did at least do that, because when I was researching this a few years ago, I found a video of him, and he said, please, you know, don't bring your children. It's, you know, they're going to die on the way if they, you know, and if they make it here, we're going to have to send them back. And, you know, I mean, he at least was responsible enough to say that at one point. But now it's like, there's no real concern for children. There's just this sanctimony about don't separate the parents from the children. Well, that's very sad, but there are much, much more ghastly things happening to children than that now. And there was then too. There's horrible trafficking and use and abuse of children, smuggling children, using them as smugglers, drug mules, raping of women. I mean, we've enriched organized crime over that border. We have horrible policy. On the one hand, it's illegal to come. On the other hand, it's porous. And so it incentivizes people, corrupt, crooked people, to take money from desperate people and, you know, exploit them in all kinds of horrible ways to get them across the border. It's like, if we had a secure border, that would be the proper policy. But frankly, if on a humanitarian level, it would probably be more humane to just open the whole thing up. Because what we have now is like prohibition. It's like, it's a bad law. It's like it's not a bad law if it were enforced. You know, if there were a border, then people know what to expect and they're not, you know, allowed to come and they don't come. But it's like now it's illegal, but you can still do it. But what that does is incentivizes all kinds of bad elements to, you know, break in, to exploit people who have, you know, don't have the street smarts or whatever to get in on their own. To, you know, those are the coyotes, you know. But even worse, it's like turned it into a whole organized crime situation, all in the name of being, you know, wonderful and lefty humanitarian and. Yeah, they have no clue what really goes on. You know, I interviewed Laura Logan a few years ago about this. And I mean, she told me stories that would make your hair stand on end and stuff that has never even been published, probably, that she saw and heard about grotesque crimes against children and women. And you know, and she, you know, her position was just, how can these people, I mean, if even one child, and it's a lot more than one, is trafficked in to become a child prostitute here in America, you know, it's thousands, you know, how do they justify that? Would they think that separating families in a secure facility, you know, and protecting kids because they can't be housed in a prison with adults, that was the reason for that policy. I mean, they think that's worse than children being dragged across this border, some of them dying in the desert, children dying in snuff films, you know. I mean, children being used, sent back and forth as drug mules, because that's part of what's going on. And it's been going on for years, probably worse than ever now since I researched it. So it really upsets me, you know, when people, you know, it reminds me a little of, I mean, it's another subject, but it's kind of like Black Lives Matter, you know, for grown men who are fighting with the police. But what about all the Black children getting killed in cities where there's lawlessness and no effective police force now? Do their lives not matter? I mean, it's like, what are the priorities? And, you know, with me, it always comes down to children. I think that there are a lot of selfish adults right now pushing political agendas, whether it's the anti-police stuff, the trans stuff, the open border stuff, and the children are the victims, Rob, of this sanctimonious bullshit. Excuse my language.
Well, no, I agree with you 100%, and that is the reason why we have to have a few good Democrats that are true Democrats. They're going to stand up and call this out. It can't be just Republicans by themselves. We need Democrats who are going to look at this party and say, wait, we've gone completely off the rails here. This is crazy. This is not what we signed up for. This is not what the party is about. We're about social programs, yes. We care for people. But all of this other stuff, we've allowed this fringe group to co-opt the party, to co-opt our policy, to co-opt who we are. And we've just taken it off the rails. Wanting everyone to come in and vote, that's something else. My mom even spoken about that. Allowing people to vote who aren't American citizens. And I say to Black people, remember how difficult it was for you to vote, to get the right to vote. Even women, the right to vote. And speaking of women, I mean, last month, March, they proclaimed it as being Women's Month. And Biden came in and said, oh, we're going to put all this money toward women's health. But your party can't even define what a woman is. You're saying,
and then he put his wife in charge of it. He put his wife, who is a community college English professor, nothing against that. That's what I used to do. But I mean, why is she the maven of women's health?
It makes no sense. So they're going to be the forerunners of women's health, but they can't define what a woman is. I mean, look at the contradiction. Look at the contradiction. And if we had an honest media, they would say, wait a minute, how can this administration say that they're going to be the forerunners on women's health when they can't define what a woman is? They have a man, Richard Levin, who claims to be a woman, talking about women issues. Are you serious? Yeah. I mean, are we in la-la land?
Yeah, I know some people who knew. I don't mean to gossip, but I know some people who knew Rachel Levin when she was Richard Levin. She's from Pennsylvania, you know, and it's a fascinating thing. I mean, I don't want to judge, but it's like he Richard Levin, well, he was a middle-aged man. He had a beautiful wife. He had an established career as a, you know, a physician around here. And he just, I mean, look, I'm not trying to, I don't know his story. I don't know him, but I do know some people who believe, you know, that he was a very ambitious man who, you know, this is hearsay and who knows, maybe he has struggled mightily his whole life and gone through a tremendous upheaval with the transition. I don't know, but I do know some doctors who said that his ambition was fierce, and they believe that he, you know, this is one particular conservative doctor I know who believes that Rachel Levin, Richard might have done this like to get ahead, at least partly. Actually,
I wouldn't all be surprised.
What my friend said, if he got the bottom surgery, then I believe it, you know. But who knows?
I wouldn't all be surprised. I think that we need to ask these questions. He's filling a role that a woman should be in. And then for Joe Biden to try to showcase him, again, this is something else that real Democrats are looking at and saying, wait a minute. We've always fought for women's rights. And now you have a man who's taking our position. You have boys and female sports, and we can't say anything. Our girls are silenced. You've taken away their voices. What happened to the voice of the woman? Now you're saying you better not say anything, because if you do, we're going to come after you. This is not democracy. This is not the Democrat Party that our parents and baby boomers grew up with. And I think it's time for them to stand up and to call it out. As painful as it may be, they need to stand up and they need to start fighting for the next generation. I mean, we refer to them as being the greatest generation. What happened? You're going to let it all collapse because of these individuals who have come up with this crazy idea that we have to buy into it. And shame on those judges and lawyers who are trying to make law and pass law to silence us and want us to agree with what they're doing. Shame on you. Shame on corporations that are falling for this and saying, okay, we're going to go along with this merry-go-round of he, her, their, their, share, changing the pronouns. Shame on you. And we can't forget about this. And these people must be held accountable. They must be held accountable. And that is the reason why they're so afraid that Donald Trump is going to get in office and hold them accountable. They must be. So I would say to all our Democrat brethren, all of you, it is time for you to wake up. It is time for you to make a stand. It is time for you to stand up on principle and call out this craziness. If you're sick and tired of it, it's not going to get any better until you get to the polls this November and make your voices heard when you say, we're not going to take it anymore. We're not voting for you. The tide has turned. The train has left the station. That's it. Well, Heather, what can I say? We're all out of time. But there's so much more to talk about, and I think you're going to join us tomorrow night. So we welcome you tomorrow night. So I would ask you all to come back tomorrow night, because there's more for us to discuss. You've been listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform, and my special co-host tonight, Heather Robinson of the New York Post. We will be back tomorrow night with more great analysis and news to talk about. As my dear friend Andrew would always say, stand for something or fall for nothing. Good night. God bless.